Okay, so it's 2026. Picture this. You are standing in an airport terminal. It's loud, it's crowded, and that departure board, it just seems endless.
We're living through what the industry calls a travel supercycle.
Right, everyone wants to fly. But here's the paradox. You look out the window onto the tarmac, and well, something's missing.
Yeah, there just aren't enough new planes to carry all these people.
And that's really the core tension in aviation right now, isn't it?
It is. You have this record-breaking demand just colliding head-on with a historic inability to build new jets fast enough. The supply chain has totally decoupled from the passenger line.
Exactly. And that is the mission of this deep dive. We're not talking about lost luggage or, the price of a drink in economy.
No.
We are peeling back the layers of that invisible ecosystem that keeps the planes we do have flying. We're talking about the MRO market maintenance, repair, and overhaul.
Which is often called the global garage.
The global garage. I like that. And to get into this, we've got a really interesting stack of sources today. We have the Aircraft Spare Parts Industry Report for 2026, which has some pretty alarming numbers in it. We've got these dense regulatory updates from the FAA, specifically on back-to-birth traceability.
And that data on the massive fraud scandal that's still shaking things up.
Yeah, plus some visuals on everything from drone delivery to like augmented reality inspections.
You know, if there's one theme connecting all of this, it's the collision between fragility and verification.
Okay, unpack that.
Well, we have a supply chain that was built for extreme efficiency, lean, just in time, and it's suddenly being forced to prioritize resilience and hyper traceability. It's a painful pivot.
Let's start with the hardware problem then, the parts drought. I was reading the aging fleet crisis section of that report, and the average age of a commercial aircraft has hit 16 years.
16, and in 2019, that number was 14.
Wow.
2 years might not sound like a crisis, but in aviation engineering terms, that is a massive shift. Aircraft aging isn't linear. It's logarithmic in terms of cost and complexity.
So when a fleet moves from 14 to 16 years old,
a huge percentage of those planes are entering the window for heavy maintenance.
and we should probably clarify what heavy maintenance actually means here. This isn't just kicking the tires or changing the oil.
I know. We are talking about C&D checks. A C check happens every, what, 20 to 24 months, takes a few weeks. But a D check,
That's the big one.
that is the heavy maintenance visit. It's roughly every 6 to 10 years. And they literally strip the entire airplane down to the metal skeleton.
Seriously.
Yeah, they remove the seats, the galleys, the lavatories, the insulation, even the paint. It's a multi-million dollar reset button. And naturally, older planes need exponentially more parts during these checks.
And this is where the bottleneck really hits. You've got Boeing and Airbus struggling to deliver new jets because of
Their own supply chain hell, exactly.
So the airlines are forced to extend the life of these teenagers. But when they go to buy the parts for that maintenance,
The shelves are empty.
empty is an understatement.
It is. Lead times for new OEM parts, that's original equipment manufacturer, are currently sitting at 12 months or more.
A year.
A year. If you need a specific hydraulic pump or an avionics computer from the factory, you're waiting a year.
That's incredible. And that forces airlines into behavior that seems, well, desperate. The report flags cannibalization as a rising trend.
Oh, it's standard practice now.
You mean taking parts off one plane to put on another?
If you have an aircraft grounded for a different reason, maybe it's waiting on an engine overhaul, it becomes a donor. You strip the functioning alternator or the landing gear off that jet to keep another one flying.
So you're eating your own fleet to keep flying.
You are. It's like taking the battery out of your second car to keep your commuter running, just on a $100 million scale.
And the scarcity is obviously driving the inflation numbers we're seeing.
Right. The report cites spare parts inflation at 2.5 to 3.5%.
Which doesn't sound too bad on its own compared to, say, groceries.
That's just the baseline. For specific high-demand rotables, those are the high-value parts that can be repaired and reused, like turbine blades. The inflation is much, much higher. It's significantly outpacing the inflation rate for brand-new aircraft.
And the scarcity is pushing airlines away from the big OEMs. The data shows a massive surge in the USM market, used serviceable material.
USM is basically the certified secondhand market. It's a $7.6 billion industry this year.
Wow.
But it's more than that. It's about a shift in power dynamics. For a long time, the leasing companies, the banks who actually own the planes, they hated it when airlines used PMA parts.
PMA being parts manufacturer approval, the so-called generic brand parts.
Correct. The third-party parts not made by Boeing or Airbus. Lessors used to forbid them because they felt it lowered the resale value of the asset.
They wanted pure jets.
Exactly. But with a 12-month lead time for an OEM part, that leverage is gone. The banks have capitulated. They'd rather have a plane flying with a generic fuel pump than a plane sitting on the ground for a year.
So you've got desperation, high value, and a chaotic market.
It's a recipe for fraud.
Which brings us to the ghost in the machine. The shadow of that AOG Technic scandal is just all over these 2026 reports.
It's the catalyst for almost every single regulatory change we're seeing right now.
For those who might have missed the headline back in late 2023, we'll give us the rundown.
Okay, so a UK broker, AOG Technics, was found selling engine parts for the CFM56, which is the absolute workhorse engine of the sky, you know, on 737s and A320s,
right,
with falsified documents.
And it wasn't just that they faked a signature, right? They faked the entire history of the part.
They created a whole fake reality. See, in aviation, a part is only as good as its paperwork. If you can't prove where it came from, it is just scrap metal. AG Technics was taking parts that were likely scrap and just generating fake airworthiness release certificates.
Which is why Form 80133 is in our source stack. That's the part's birth certificate and its resume all in one.
Precisely. It tracks the back-to-birth history. Every single time a turbine blade is removed, inspected, repaired, yeah, it gets an entry. AOG Technics broke that chain of trust. They put a dirty fingerprint into the global supply chain.
And the fallout was huge. Grounding planes, tearing engines apart to find these specific parts. But what I find so interesting in the 2026 data is the overcorrection. The industry seems traumatized.
Traumatized is the right word. The old fax and phone era of trading parts is dead. It used to be a handshake business. Now, the industry is obsessed with digital traceability.
We're seeing this massive migration to platforms like Honeywell Go Direct Trade or Locatory.com.
Because you can't Photoshop a blockchain entry.
Exactly.
If the maintenance history is on a distributed ledger, you can verify that back-to-birth path instantly. You don't have to trust the PDF some broker emailed you.
Yeah.
You trust the immutable data trail. It's shifting trust from the human to the architecture.
And that focus on trust transitions perfectly into the other major anxiety in these documents, where the work is actually being done, the global garage.
The outsourcing trend.
I mean, the numbers are just staggering. In 1990, U.S. airlines outsourced maybe 20% of their maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
Today, it's hovering between 50 and 55%. And it's not going to a shop down the street. It's heavy maintenance happening in El Salvador, Mexico, Singapore, Beijing.
It follows the labor rates. Heavy maintenance is labor intensive, manual work. You can't automate stripping a fuselage yet. So the work flowed to where labor was cheaper.
But here's where the source material gets conflicted, or at least shows this rapid evolution. The older narrative, and frankly the view a lot of people still have, is that these foreign repair stations are the Wild West.
No oversight, rubber stamp inspections.
Yeah. But the critical regulatory updates document in our stack suggests that the party is over.
The Wild West narrative was true. For a long time, there were massive loopholes. But the FAA Reauthorization Act of 2024 closed them with a sledgehammer.
Let's talk about the two biggest changes. First, drug testing. I was genuinely surprised that until recently, mechanics at foreign repair stations working on U.S. planes weren't subject to the same drug and alcohol testing as mechanics in, say, Chicago.
It was a massive point of contention for U.S. unions,
yeah,
and rightly so. But the 2024 Act mandated it. A final rule passed in December 2024, and now all 977 FAA-certified foreign repair stations have to implement drug and alcohol testing programs that match U.S. standards.
That sounds like a logistical nightmare, though, doesn't it? I mean, implementing U.S. standard drug testing in places that have completely different privacy laws or labor standards?
It's a diplomatic and logistical minefield. That's why they have a transition period. They have until December 2027 to be fully compliant.
So right now, in 2026, we're in the messy middle.
We are. Every one of those stations is scrambling to set up these protocols.
And the second change is even more aggressive. Unannounced inspections. The old rule was that the FAA effectively had to warn foreign stations before visiting, mostly because of visa issues. You know, hi, we're coming to inspect you next month.
Which, of course, gives any bad actors time to clean up the shop floor. The 2024 Act stripped that away. It mandates unannounced inspections.
But how does that work physically? An FAA inspector can't just walk into a hangar in Shanghai without a visa.
That is the friction point. The law demands the element of surprise. But geopolitics complicates it. We're seeing the State Department and the FAA having to work much closer on rapid access visas. But but that legal shield is gone. If a repair station denies access or delays it, they risk losing their certification immediately.
So if you're running a repair station in Brazil or Singapore, your overhead just shot way up.
Exactly. You need drug testing compliance, and you need to be ready for a surprise audit at any moment. Which brings us to the business angle. Chaos creates opportunity.
Right. You have these 977 foreign stations, all desperate to prove they're compliant by that 2027 deadline. That sounds like a huge market for compliance software.
It's a gold mine. The sources explicitly mentioned the rise of these specialized SaaS platforms designed solely to track FAA compliance for foreign repair stations. If you can build a tool that automates drug testing reports and audit trails for these stations, you have a captive market.
And technology is also trying to solve the geography problem. We've got this image in the stack labeled the inspection challenge. It's a guy in a headset looking at a tablet.
That's the remote shoulder concept. If you can't get an inspector to Beijing fast enough, you use augmented reality. The mechanic in Beijing wears smart glasses, and the inspector in Los Angeles sees exactly what they see in real time.
So the inspector can verify the repair, check the part number, and sign off on that form 8133 without ever leaving their desk.
Precisely. He uses digital twins of the aircraft. The inspector compares the live feed against the digital schematic. It's really the only way to make this global network viable, given the staffing shortages at the FAA.
Speaking of tech, we have to talk about this de-reticular drone image. It looks like a sci-fi prop drone carrying a heavy crate over a suburb.
Yeah, but the caption ties it to AOG efficiency. This addresses the last mile problem. If you have an AOG in aircraft on ground, every minute it sits there costs the airline thousands of dollars.
So if the part is stuck in a delivery van in traffic...
That is just money burning. The idea here is autonomous delivery from the warehouse directly to the tarmac.
Directly to the hangar door.
And it's more than just speed. It's about chain of custody. If a drone takes the part from a secure warehouse and drops it in a secure zone, you remove human handling steps where paperwork could get lost. It's a secure, autonomous pipeline.
Okay, now for the entrepreneurs listening who are thinking, I'll build the compliance software or I'll build the drone, we have to flag a specific warning from the notes about funding. There's a red flag on the SBIRTR grants.
This is a crucial detail for any startups. Usually, the Small Business Innovation Research Grants, the SBIR grants, are reliable government seed money. But the older documents in our stack listed solicitation dates for 2025 that just didn't happen.
The calendar lied.
The authorization lapsed. The program actually had a standstill in October 2025. So if you're working off a cached version of a DoD or FAA innovation roadmap, you're planning for deadlines that don't exist.
So where should they be looking?
You have to go directly to the Defense SBIRCARI Innovation Portal for the resume schedule. Don't rely on third-party aggregators or old PDFs. The timeline has shifted by about 6 months.
Good catch. Okay. And even with that funding glitch, there are big players moving in. Beta Technologies is mentioned as a key partner.
Beta is fascinating. Everyone knows them for the electric vertical takeoff planes, the EVTOLs.
Right.
But their real value to this ecosystem right now is training. They're partnering to create the certification standards for the mechanics who will have to fix these new electric systems.
So if you're a legacy MRO shop trying to figure out how to fix an electric motor instead of a jet turbine, Beta is the partner you want.
They're building the curriculum for the next generation of mechanics.
Okay, let's zoom out and put this all together. We have an aging fleet that is just hungry for parts. We have a fraud scandal that destroyed the old handshake trust model.
And we have a regulatory crackdown that is forcing this global supply chain to basically digitize or die.
So if you had to summarize the big strategic shift.
I'd say the industry is moving from just in time to just in case.
Unpack that for us.
Well, for 40 years, aviation was the poster child for lean. You didn't hold inventory. You bought the part the second you needed it to keep capital free.
Yeah.
Efficiency was gone.
And now?
Now, with lead times at a year and fraud in the market, efficiency is a liability. Resilience is king. Airlines are hoarding parts. They're building buffer stocks. They're paying for warehouse space to store parts they might not need for 6 months just because they can't risk not having them.
It's the end of lean aviation.
It's the era of the hoarder. And frankly, it makes the system safer, even if it makes it more expensive.
It does leave me with a lingering question, though. We looked at that image of the robotic arm and the blockchain verification. We're moving into a world where inspections are remote, paperwork is algorithmic.
The human element is receding, yes.
So in 2026, when I sit down in seat 14A, who am I actually trusting? Am I trusting the mechanic's hands, or am I trusting the data trail that verified the mechanic's hands?
And that is the profound shift. We used to trust the craftsman. Now we have to trust the verification architecture. We're betting our safety on the fact that the digital twin matches the physical reality.
Yeah.
And as we saw with AOG Technics, if that digital architecture has a crack in it, the whole system is suspect.
Trust but verify, ideally with a blockchain.
And maybe a surprise inspection.
Thanks for diving deep with us. The global garage is getting cleaner, but it is definitely getting more complicated.
Stay curious.
We'll see you on the next deep dive.